100%, a compilation.
I've told the story of my grandfather before in different venues. Papa, as we called him, was one of the greatest men of God I've ever known. But he also experienced one of the greatest hardships I've ever seen. Papa watched his wife, of over 50 years, slowly lose her mind and body to Alzheimer's. By the end, she started to literally scream curses and obscenities at him. But he handled it with more grace and faith than you can imagine. Regardless of grandmother's condition, he would go every day to the nursing home and comb her hair and tell her she was beautiful until they would kick him out. Papa died about 18 months before Grandma passed away. The final scenes of their marriage were pitiful, really, from a purely earthly perspective. Healing never came, and it broke Papa's heart. But still, surprisingly, every time you would ask Papa how he was doing, he'd always say the same thing, 100%. As a kid, it always bothered me that he said that because I felt like it couldn't be true. His health was getting worse, his wife's health was getting much worse, and everything he loved in his life and worked to build in his life was going away. It wasn't until years later, after he passed away, that I finally understood why he could say it. I was reflecting and praying about it, about how he could say he was 100% at the worst time in his life. It still sounded like a lie. He wasn't 100%. He wasn't even 50%. He wasn't even 10%. But then I felt like the Lord spoke back to me a sentence that completely flipped my perspective. It depends on what you're measuring. If you're measuring his circumstances, he's not 100%. But if you're measuring his confidence in Christ, if you're measuring his hope in a future home in heaven and that one day all things will be made new, if you're measuring the faithfulness of God toward him, despite his circumstances, then he was 100% all the time. If you were to measure how any of us feel in any given moment, none of us could ever say 100%. Your status is going to change with the shifting sands of your circumstances. You're going to have bad days. The carpet of your life is going to be ripped out from underneath you a few times in your life. And in those moments, the temptation is going to be to equate your condition with your circumstances. Don't. I don't know you. I don't know the circumstances you're facing, the pain you're enduring. What I do know is that most of you would say you're not 100%. In fact, you may think you're in the single digits. But regardless of what you're going through, I'd still say the same thing to you that God said to me. It depends on what you're measuring. Although it's difficult, choose to see things with a new perspective. You're 100%, not because of your circumstances, but because of the fact that regardless of your circumstances, Christ is 100% with you and for you, 100% of the time. Stephen Furtick. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 146:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Psalm 46:1-3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Psalm 103:1-6. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:4-7. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows, like sea billows, roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. For me, be it Christ, hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death, as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. But, Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. And, Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. Horatio Gates Spafford. This hymn was written by a Chicago lawyer, Horatio G. Spafford. You might think to write a worship song titled, "It Is Well With My Soul," you would indeed have to be a rich, successful Chicago lawyer. On the contrary, these words were penned by a man who had suffered almost unimaginable personal tragedy. Horatio G. Spafford and his wife Anna were pretty well known in 1860 Chicago, and this was not just because of Horatio's legal career and business endeavors. The Spaffords were also prominent supporters and close friends of D.L. Moody, the famous preacher. In 1870, however, things started to go wrong. The Spaffords' only son was killed by scarlet fever at the age of 4. A year later, it was fire rather than fever that struck. Horatio had invested heavily in real estate on the shores of Lake Michigan. In 1871, every one of these holdings was wiped out by the Great Chicago Fire. Aware of the toll that these disasters had taken on the family, Horatio decided to take his wife and 4 daughters on holiday to England. And not only did they need the rest, D.L. Moody needed the help. He was traveling around Britain on one of his great evangelistic campaigns. Horatio and Anna planned to join Moody in late 1873, and so the Spaffords traveled to New York in November, from where they were to catch the French steamer Ville du Havre across the Atlantic. Yet just before they set sail, a last-minute business development forced Horatio to delay. Not wanting to ruin the family holiday, Spafford persuaded his family to go as planned. He would follow on later. With this decided, Anna and her 4 daughters sailed to Europe while Spafford returned to Chicago. Just 9 days later, Spafford received a telegram from his wife in Wales. It read, "Saved alone." On November 2, 1873, the Ville du Havre had collided with the Lochearn, an English vessel. It sank in only 12 minutes, claiming the lives of 226 people. Anna Spafford had stood bravely on the deck, with her daughters Annie, Maggie, Bessie, and Tanita clinging desperately to her. Her last memory had been of her baby being torn violently from her arms by the force of the waters. Anna was only saved from the fate of her daughters by a plank which floated beneath her unconscious body and propped her up. When the survivors of the wreck had been rescued, Mrs. Spafford's first reaction was one of complete despair. Then she heard a voice speak to her. "You were spared for a purpose." And she immediately recalled the words of a friend. "It is easy to be grateful and good when you have so much, but take care that you are not a fair-weather friend to God." Upon hearing the terrible news, Horatio Spafford boarded the next ship out of New York to join his bereaved wife. Bertha Spafford, the fifth daughter of Horatio and Anna, born later, explained that during her father's voyage, the captain of the ship had called him to the bridge. "A careful reckoning has been made," he said, "and I believe we are now passing the place where the Du Havre was wrecked. The water is 3 miles deep." Horatio then returned to his cabin and penned the lyrics of his great hymn. The words which Spafford wrote that day come from 2 Kings 4:26. They echo the response of the Shunammite woman to the sudden death of her only child. Though we are told her soul is vexed within her, she still maintains that it is well. And Spafford's song reveals a man whose trust in the Lord is as unwavering as hers was. It would be very difficult for any of us to predict how we would react under circumstances similar to those experienced by the Spaffords. But we do know that the God who sustained them would also be with us. No matter what circumstances overtake us, may we be able to say with Horatio Spafford, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul."
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.